This is the Inner Change Maker with Jay Wong, the podcast dedicated to purpose-driven entrepreneurs and multi-passionate individuals. Tune in each week as we bring you an inspiring person and message to help you activate and tap into your inner change maker. Thanks for spending some time with us today, and let's get started. Hello, fellow change makers. Today we have an amazing guest with us. We have Mr. Andy Drish. And if you're not familiar with Andy, Andy Drish is the co-founder of The Foundation, which is a six-month online program designed to take entrepreneurs with no experience, no background in coding or design, essentially people just starting out, and they take them and they help them through this online program. They help them create a profitable business in 6 months. And they're able to do this because him and his co-founder, Dane Maxwell, are big advocates of the idea of pre-selling, the idea of validating your idea before you do all the hard work and putting it together. And I met Andy during my time at Strategic Coach, and this is a few years back, and I know we definitely referenced that during the conversation, but I wanted to have him on the podcast not only to talk about entrepreneurship and lifestyle design, but to talk about discovering your own genius, which Andy is definitely really an expert in this area. So this episode is action-packed. We talked about Facebook detoxes, lifestyle design, and Andy goes in depth in giving us a three-step framework to discovering your own genius and much, much more. I'm so excited to bring you guys this episode because, you know, Andy is really a perfect example of a successful online entrepreneur and also a change maker in modern day society. And so it's really exciting. They actually just launched a free online course yesterday, I believe. And so you guys can go find that on their website, or you can go to the show notes or listen to the end, and Andy does talk a little bit about that. So without any further delays, let's dive in. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the episode with Andy Drish. Andy, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, yeah. What is, I saw recently on your Facebook that you were off Facebook. Is that like a thing that you do every now and then? You do like this Facebook detox?
Yeah. So this, the last one is a little bit different. Last year, I wanted to learn, I was at Burning Man and I saw all these people spinning fire. It's like spinning poi is the name of it. And okay. And I really wanted to learn that before Burning Man. So I did a 6 week Facebook detox where I didn't do Facebook for 6 weeks, and every time I got the urge to do Facebook, instead of spending like the 5 to 10 minutes that I normally would, I spent 5 to 10 minutes like spinning these little balls, learning how to dance with fire. So that was the first one. The most recent one, I actually went to Bali for 8 weeks and completely unplugged from everything. So not just Facebook, wow, but Facebook, email, no phone calls, no work, no Skype, no, like it was 8 weeks completely off the grid, entirely disconnected. And that was the purpose of that detox.
That's amazing. Did you find that you had an itch to maybe check email every now and then, or have you done enough detoxes that you've kind of built up that muscle that you're just totally kind of free from technology?
I mean, you get it a little bit, but I was over in Bali and when you, once, like after getting settled into it, it's like I didn't even want to be looking at a computer screen, which is it's a whole different thing. But Bali was a trip. I feel like in the West, if you look at our culture in the West, we've lost all sense of rite of passage or initiation, and so we have a culture that values sex and money and fame and fortune. And if you think of what age of a human values that, it's generally a teenager, someone who's 14 years old, sure, stuck in adolescence. And I really believe that our culture has lost all sense of rite of passage into adulthood or into like older versions and more mature versions of living. And that's why we have this like kind of culture that's an adolescent culture versus a more mature one. So the trip to Bali was around, it was a rite of passage I set up for myself with a man who was working over there who spent a lot of time doing energy work and stuff. So this is completely off the topic of entrepreneurship, but kind of not at the same time. But that was the purpose of the trip to go to Bali, was to have that initiation, so to speak.
Yeah. I didn't necessarily want to start off on this tangent as well. But, you know, it's funny. I think when it comes to entrepreneurism, and I know, you know, we want to talk about, you know, the foundation and a little bit about your story, but especially with entrepreneurism, I think it all connects because it's a great thing to kind of put together all the different aspects of your life, and personal development just happens to be one of them. I know you talk a lot about, you know, self-awareness and that whole genius, discovering your own genius. I think it all kind of comes together.
Amen. Amen to that. I truly believe that entrepreneurship is one of the greatest paths for self-discovery and personal growth and figuring out who you really are at your core. And I don't know of another, I mean, you could do it really through anything, but entrepreneurship is just the path that has worked really, really well for me. And what I found is that the more that you tend to know and grow and figure out about yourself, the more power that you have to create exactly what it is that you want in your life. And that can look like more money coming in. That can look like creating a family or attracting the right person that you want to attract. It can manifest in many different realms, but I think that's the thing that attracts me the most to it is like, who doesn't want to create reality exactly the way that they want to? Who doesn't want to build a life exactly the way that they want to build their life? And entrepreneurship for me is the path that has taught me how to create all of that.
That's so awesome, Andy. So, I mean, take us back. I mean, tell us who you were. I guess, I mean, did you always want to be an entrepreneur? Tell us a little bit about that background before the foundation.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a town of 600 people in Iowa. So if you can imagine, just kind of like it's like a little hickishville town in the middle of a cornfield.
Okay.
I graduated with 52 kids in my high school class, like pretty much the same 52 kids I went to kindergarten with. I'd never traveled outside of the Midwest for the most part. I went to Florida on one family vacation, which was cool, and never outside of the U.S. So I grew up like in just the middle of the traditional or typical America heartland. And when I was 14 years old, I went to work with my dad. My dad does construction for a living. And on the first day of work for the summer, he handed me the shovel and he says, "Andy, I'm going to teach you how to run the shovel this summer so you learn that you don't want to spend the rest of your life doing this for a living."
And great advice right there.
Oh man, it was a really good lesson. So I spent the next 3 months working 80-hour weeks outside in the blistering heat, pretty much shoveling dirt all day long. And that was when I learned that I don't want to do that. Yeah. And so that taught me to really value education. And then when I got into college, I had the chance to study abroad, which I'd never lived outside the U.S. before. So I studied in New Zealand, and at this one moment, I was hiking on top of a mountain, and we camped at the top of the mountain for a night, and then woke up during the morning to watch the sunrise. And I remember I was having the time of my life on a road trip with friends. It was the first time I had ever traveled, and it felt so freeing and exciting to just be like in the wonder of what's going to happen and just that whole energy that comes with traveling. And I remember looking at this sunrise. The clouds are below us. The sun's like peeking over the ridge of a mountain way off in the distance. And I remember just being pissed off that in 2 years I was going to graduate and I was going to have about $85,000 in student loan debt. And I would never be able to travel like this again. I would get 2 to 3 weeks of vacation per year, and I would never be able to take 3 weeks off and go travel and do what I want to. And that was the thing that was like, you know what? Like, I want to create what I want to create. And I want to build a life where I can travel and where I can play and where I can live life on my own terms. And that was really the catalyst that you know, sucked me into the realm of entrepreneurship, because I didn't know another path that would allow that to work for me. Like, I couldn't imagine a path where I worked for somebody and they were going to be okay with me taking 8 weeks off to go to Bali and kick it without doing any work. It just didn't make any sense to me. So that was when I was 20 years old. I'm 29 now. And then the last 9 years has been a whole journey in and of itself as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I definitely, I definitely feel you. I think a lot of people, you know, here in Canada or in the US, they graduate with, you know, X amount of debt, and they feel that almost like they're trapped, like there's no way out. And it's not that they don't necessarily know what their passions are, or they don't want to pursue entrepreneurism. They just don't think that it's really an option. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they do want that freedom. It, you know, a lot of the social media and the blogs today, they kind of romanticize traveling. But, you know, as another, you know, as a fellow traveler and as someone who kind of explored out, you know, into different countries, I mean, traveling is so much more about learning about yourself and is about learning about the cultures that are there. But you learn, it's almost like as you go, everything is kind of a mirror to who you are. And it almost shows you, you know, the strengths and the weaknesses that you do have as a person and as a leader.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So how did you go from this trip to the foundation? I think the foundation wasn't necessarily the first kind of entrepreneurial project that you were involved in, right?
No, I tried everything. I sold t-shirts. I tried selling fake IDs for a little bit, which was a terrible idea. so the typical college stuff, we built a little course in college. I went into corporate America for 3 years. I built a membership site on one thing, trying everything.
Right.
And I was so, it was so frustrating. It's so annoying, Jay. Like, I went to college for marketing. I spent $85,000 to get a degree in marketing. And when I graduated, I didn't know the first thing about how to acquire a customer for a new business that I've never started. Like, something's wrong with that. It doesn't make any sense. And the reason why is because most education, or traditional education is prepping you to be an employee for a big company. And big companies don't teach direct response marketing. They teach brand marketing, which is, you know, buying Super Bowl ads for brand recognition. But when it comes to how do I get a customer for the first company that I want to start, I just didn't. It was such a long path to figure that out. And it was so frustrating. And it wasn't until I figured out direct response marketing that I actually understood any of that. So, I built a membership site at one point. It was in 6 weeks. It was generating about $6,000 a month in revenue. This was my second year in corporate America. And I was on top of the world because I thought, you know what? I'm making $6,000 a month. I was working with a partner. We were splitting it. It was like enough to like consider getting out of corporate America. And I was so excited. And then 6 months later, it came crashing down. And then I had to start all over again. And then I built a real estate marketing company, which was cool. And went through a whole quarter life crisis. In the span of a week, I quit my job in corporate America. I split up with my girlfriend of 5 years. I left the dog that we had. the hardest part of the whole thing. Like all of these changes happened, and leaving Zoe was the worst.
Right.
So I did all that, and then I moved in with Dane, my now business partner, and sure. We just focused on growing our businesses and built that company, and then sold that right before we started the foundation together.
Yeah, well,
3 years ago.
I've seen that you guys have such, you know, big goals with the foundation, and you guys work with such, you guys are doing, you know, so much value for the market, for people that want to be entrepreneurs. When you talk about your, you know, I read, you know, one of your blog posts about how to discover your own genius. And I really love that. And I want you to talk about that because, you know, how is that instrumental for someone that is maybe thinking about entrepreneurism themselves? How does discovering your genius help with being a better entrepreneur, with being a better person?
Well, you know, this is part of this I got to attribute to Dan Sullivan, you know, like he talks about his unique ability stuff. And
for sure.
And that really impacted me and influenced me. And what if you zoom out completely and you think about what is entrepreneurship really about at its core? Like, what is it? And for me, it's not about making money. It's not just about impacting the world. All of these, like these things are great, but really what it's about for me is designing life on my terms, like creating the life that I want to live, living in alignment with who I'm naturally meant to be and what I'm naturally meant to give to the world. That's like the purpose of all of it. And sometimes when I get too into entrepreneurship, I'll lose sight of that. And I think the process of discovering your genius and like what it is that lights you up, that you love doing, that you feel like you remember what you were doing when you were a kid, that you could just do for hours, those types of activities, the more that you can be in that flow, in your career, in your business, the more fun you're going to have in life and like the more you're going to enjoy it. And I think the path of entrepreneurship is continuing to hone that genius over and over and over so that you can spend more and more time in that and building your life or your business, with that as a priority. So, Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it definitely does. And I do remember, you know, Dan, you know, coming from a strategic coach background. I mean, Dan always talks about unique ability and what's like the one thing that you could do for the rest of your life to keep yourself entertained that will keep you getting more and more energy and you can always see yourself getting better at. And, you know, people would find it really difficult, you know, to try to narrow it down to one thing. And I think a lot of times as creatives or as entrepreneurs, you're kind of this multi-passionate individual. You know, you're kind of good at all these different things. So how do you really pick one? Do you have maybe a framework that could help people to kind of narrow their own genius down, narrow their own unique ability down?
Totally. And I would say it's constantly evolving too. For me, right. Anyway. You know, Dan's what is he, like 70 now?
Dan Sullivan should be, yeah.
He's amazing. And he's been, he's like got his stuff like super dialed. I have a hard time doing just like the one thing over and over.
Sure.
But there's kind of like a sphere or like a circle of a couple different things. The process that I help people with is I've broken it into three phases of how to discover what it is that your genius is or what you love doing that you can get paid for. And so I'll give you the three phases, then I'll go into the first one a little bit.
Sure. Yeah.
First phase is gather data. Second phase is to spot patterns in the data. And then the third phase is to start building a plan, to get rid of all of the stuff that isn't high leverage for you. So the reason that gathering data is the most important piece right at the beginning, the reason that it's first is like you said, most people have a really hard time discovering what it is that their genius is. And the reason that's true is because it's so close to us. We're actually doing it unconsciously almost all the time. We just naturally gravitate towards that thing that we just do. It's the thing that you do, Jay, that's just Jay as your essence, at your core. And so it's actually hard to see it because you're constantly doing it.
You're too close to it.
Exactly.
Right.
I'll just play a little game with you to get this started.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite movie?
Yes.
What is it?
Cloud Atlas.
Cloud Atlas?
Yes.
I've never watched it. What is Cloud Atlas?
It's like one of these, like, there's like multiple stories going on. And all of it is tied into the theme that our lives are not our own. And essentially it's tied that we are, you know, we are one. We're like everyone on Earth is, when you view Earth from like the vantage point of space, for example, you view Earth as one entity. And so it kind of talks about and plays on the idea that we are all one.
Nice.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stories. Who's your favorite character in the movie?
It's one of the, I don't remember her name, but it's the, like the main kind of like, main kind of actress in it.
Okay. And if you were to describe this main actress, regardless of her name, like
sure.
how would you describe her? Like, what does she stand for? How does she show up? What do you admire about her? What does that look like?
The outspokenness, bravery, courage. To give a little context, I mean, she's essentially in this thing where they're all drones. Everyone is the same. Everyone just has the same ID number.
Uh-huh.
And eventually she breaks out of this, you know, in the movie, and she learns and she essentially becomes a leader in the process of understanding how the world works around her.
Badass. So she's brave. She's outspoken. She's courageous.
Yeah.
She's the one that's like standing out and leading when everybody else is following the same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great. On a scale of 1 to 10, how well does this describe you?
It's definitely something that, I look up to all those qualities. And, I mean, I always leave room for improvement. But it's definitely, you know, outspokenness, bravery. I talk a lot about overcoming fear so much that it's definitely something that I, you know, have embedded into my DNA as an entrepreneur, as a leader, as a person as well. So
cool. So scale of 1 to 10?
I would say 8.
8?
Yeah.
Cool. What would be missing?
I think it is it's a time and experience thing, and it's not a knock against young entrepreneurs. I know you're super young and in the game as well, but I'm focused on mastery. And the only way to get to mastery is not necessarily the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours, but it's by doing more and more things that are outside of your comfort zone and incorporating that into your own artistry. And so my own artistry, I can see the limits to it currently, but I know that every day I look to make it better and better and better. So I make an 8 right now because I do look up to a lot of different entrepreneurs in the game. And Dane and yourself, Andy, definitely look up to you guys as well.
Cool. So there's this room for improvement.
Absolutely.
To keep growing with it. Yeah. So the reason I take people through this of like favorite movie, favorite character, and then describe them is because rarely do we describe it's so hard to describe yourself. Like if I were like, Jay, tell me what like the best characteristics are about you. Do you think you would have come up with bravery and courage and being a leader and being outspoken?
I will say that I also went through a lot of the strategic coach unique ability sessions. Yeah. So, there is they give you like 10, little sentences that, really do describe some of the things, that are, make you more self-aware, things that really do explain you. So I would be able to say that, but I completely know that a lot of people have not really invested that time to learn that about themselves, whether they're entrepreneurs or people that, employees. Totally. No distinction between that, because a lot of people don't invest the proper education into themselves.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So it sounds like you went through some of this stuff already, and some of this process comes straight from unique ability stuff. It was where Dan was really the first person to turn me onto this, because like, what's the most exciting thing to me, I think, is seeing people who are living lives in alignment with their true essence, like living in alignment with what they're naturally born to do. And that's kind of like what this process helps people with. And I think that's why I got so excited when Dan shared it all with us. Mm-hmm. So I always start people with like the data gathering, like writing down all the stuff that you know about yourself. Either using like the mirror exercise with using a movie and a character, or just writing on your own, and then going through the process of getting feedback from the people who are closest to you, like having them tell you what they see in you that they admire and that they respect.
Yeah.
And then going through, and once you have all this data about what you believe about yourself and what others believe about you and how you project yourself into the world, going through and just spotting the patterns and seeing like what are the common trends that you see that among all of those different areas. So for me, one common pattern for me or identity that I step into is the element of a party thrower. And so when I was in college, I was throwing parties. When I was studying abroad, I was throwing parties. When I was in corporate America, I was throwing parties. And now, when I go to events or conferences or here in Boulder, like it's something I often do is I throw parties because I love curating people and bringing them all together. So that's something we've implemented in the foundation. We throw a live event once a year with 250 people or so. And wow. It's just like stuff like that is super fun. So, So the whole process for discovering genius: gather data, see the trends and the patterns that you see from all of the data, and then from there figure out what activities are in alignment with that, and then the last phase is using, I think it was the Habits of Stephen Covey's book, where he talks about the four quadrants of productivity, of like genius, excellence, competence, incompetence.
Yeah.
And then what I do with people is we go through their calendar and we look at everything that's been in their calendar for, say, the past week. And we look at all the activities and we put all the activities in one of the zones, whether it's incompetence, the stuff that you're not good at and it drains your energy, competence, you're okay, but it drains your energy, excellence, you're great at doing them, but and it's okay in the short term, but it doesn't give you energy. And then genius being stuff that you love doing and gives you energy. And you break down everything in your week And then the stuff that's in the zone of incompetence and competence, you start trying to get that off your plate right away, either through hiring an assistant or whatever it is. And that's the basic frame that of walking entrepreneurs through to figure out what it is and how to build a life around it.
I absolutely love it. It's it definitely brings us back to the strategic coach days. So when people do the foundation, when they, let's say, sign up, and because, I mean, you guys take on people with no kind of coding background, maybe not even an entrepreneurism background. I mean, do you guys walk them through that process? Is that, you know, part of the program of at the foundation?
We don't. It's okay. Not right now. And part of the reason it's not is because what we want people doing right at the beginning is taking lots of action. So the first thing that we do with the foundation is we walk people through mindset stuff. So yeah. these are more of like the psychological factors that you're going to go through if you're going to make the transition. So say, and this is one of the things I think is beautiful. Dayton and I met in Iowa, right? We're these two small town Iowa kids. Both of our parents were, you know, like self-employed, I would say. I wouldn't say like entrepreneurs who are building and scaling stuff, but self-employed for the most part.
Yeah.
And the transition from being an employee or self-employed to entrepreneur and building businesses is a complete transition of your identity. That's what actually has to shift. And it's not just a transition about your identity, but it's like everything that you believe about the world or you believe about yourself is probably going to change on your path to becoming an entrepreneur. So that's where we start, is like letting people know about what to expect from a psychological standpoint of what they're going through. And then we go straight into taking action, and we go straight into how to get your first customer in the first 30 days, with the purpose being like, we can, I feel like it's easier to talk about the genius stuff after you've got some traction. Like, if you haven't made an offer, if you haven't made a sale, if you've never sold anything in your life, the genius stuff isn't going to matter as much as taking action and getting those first customers in the door and getting that momentum rolling. Because once you have the momentum rolling, then you can, and like cash flow coming in a little bit, then you can kind of step back a little bit and talk more about the genius stuff. But really, for first time entrepreneurs, we want to get them moving as quickly as possible with action.
Right. I love that though, because I think you're absolutely right. You know, a lot of times people, it's almost like they're trying to wait for that perfect time. Right.
Totally.
And, you know, they're reading all these self-help books, you know, they read all the classics, right? Everything that we mentioned in this conversation, they've touched or they've read already. They've watched, you know, all the podcast interviews, they've done all this stuff, but at the end of the day, they haven't actually produced anything, or they didn't, you know, validate their idea in the beginning. Right. So it's, I love that you guys get them to kind of take action, get, you know, some momentum going, get the energy going, and then, you know, take a step back, you know, and learn how to delegate or learn how to get a virtual assistant to, you know, do the stuff that, you know, as you say, that you're incompetent at.
Completely. So there's this concept, you know, like just in time, with assembly line stuff, just-in-time manufacturing. You heard of that?
Yeah.
They started building like stuff. I think it came from Japanese auto manufacturing, and they were building cars like right in time to ship them.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a big warehouse. And I remember reading something about how American automakers went over there to check out the warehouses and see the assembly lines. And then when they left, the American, one of the guys was like, those weren't the real facilities. They just put those up to show it. It's a sham. And he was like, where is all the warehouses for all the cars? Like, those aren't real facilities, because he thought that they had to have those. So the reason I'm sharing this is because you really want just-in-time learning, like learning the stuff that's most applicable right now. And what I see with first-time entrepreneurs is they spend all this time, and they read all of the books, and they're listening to the podcasts and watching the interviews, but they don't actually have an idea or a business to apply it to. So they sit there frustrated, spinning their wheels, logically processing all of this information and learning all of it, and they can talk to it and speak to it, but experientially, they're not actually getting any of it. And they're not getting it because they don't have an idea to actually pursue. And the more that people spend in this like little cycle of like, what's my passion and I want to do something I love and da 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 da. And
right, right.
I think there's times for that where it makes sense. And I think there's also times where it's like, just get into action and the answers will reveal itself along the way.
Yeah.
And so what we really like to get people doing is from the beginning, even especially when they don't have an idea, is get them in action as quickly as possible into figuring out, like finding that idea and not sitting and thinking up the idea in a room with a whiteboard, but starting to talk to customers, figuring out where their customers are experiencing pain or frustration or problems, and then you know, seeing what ideas come from that place, as opposed to, you know, sitting in their cubicle listening to interviews all day long, not taking any action and feeling frustrated. So that's why we have people moving as quickly as we do.
That's great. That's great. And where can people learn more? Like if, I know I'm going to throw it all in the show notes, but where can people learn more about you? Where can people learn and apply to be in the foundation? I'm assuming I saw that there was an application process that they do have to go through.
Yeah, we're just launching a new course that we're giving away for free. So the foundation
is awesome.
Yeah, it's an expensive program. And we don't have anything that is cheap. And that's intentionally because we build stuff and give away all of the stuff that people would normally charge a couple $100 for or like $1,000 for. That stuff we just build and give it away. And we're giving away a new course coming up soon. And you can actually get it at thefoundation.com/welcome. And it's going to be awesome. So you can, I would say if you want to get started as quickly as possible, that's the place to go get started and check it out. If you want to learn more about me, you can find it on the foundation or you can find it on andydrish.com. Both of them are there.
Awesome, Andy. Awesome. I honestly think this is one of the like super educational, you know, talks that I've had on the podcast, and I really do appreciate it. Last question for you, because we're trying to get a good definition for the word change maker. So when you hear the word change maker, what does that make you think of?
Change maker. Here's what it makes me think of. And this is almost how I look at entrepreneurship as well, like the role of the entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I imagine somebody who sees a reality that is different than the way reality is right now. And you imagine a world that is different than what you're experiencing right now. And if in your left hand, there's this new world that you can imagine, and in your right hand, there is the world as it is and as it stands today. What I imagine the change maker is the person who is the bridge in between the two worlds and who actually shows up in a way that bridges the reality that we have now as into the reality that they want to live in. This is a concept of one of my mentors, Brian Franklin, taught me about entrepreneurs. And that's the first thing that comes to mind for me.
That is absolutely awesome. Maybe we'll get someone to draw out the picture too. That's really cool, man. Thank you so much, Andy, for being on the Inner Changemaker. Really appreciate it. And everyone, look at the foundation. These guys put out such amazing value. I've learned tons from just following them, and you can do the same as well. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thanks, brother. Catch you later.
That is it for this week's interview. Did you like what you heard? If so, please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. We're building a community together for changemakers under the belief that together we can change the world. Join the movement at www.theinnerchangemaker.com. You can also go there for show notes and additional resources not provided in the podcast. Until next time, live with passion, live your dream, and live it now.